Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. But then you already knew that, didn't you? And if you've been listening to the show for very long, then you know who our guest is. Rob Levin is here. Rob is a longtime member of our Brain Trust going back over 5 years. He's the publisher of the New York Enterprise Report, and if you heard my previous segment, you know how proud I am of him and how much I admire how he's pulled this off, launching a magazine in the last decade and surviving through when a lot of magazines didn't survive, who had been around a lot longer than his. And so that tells you a little bit about his grit, ladies and gentlemen, and his commitment. And it reminds me a lot of you folks. And so that's the reason why we like having Rob on the show. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's funny. You know, you say commitment, my wife says insanity.
Well, you know, it's a fine line there, isn't it? It is a fine
line. I think it is. And I think that line moves with the wind.
Well, and the one of my favorite lines to go with that is something it's the title of a country music song. And Dierks Bentley has a song that he did a couple of years ago. And the title is, I Know What I Was Feeling, But What Was I Thinking?
Right.
And that's what that's what most small business owners say to themselves, probably 4 mornings out of 5, they say that to themselves when they look in the mirror in the morning, don't they?
Yes, I agree.
I know what I was feeling, but what was I thinking? And so anyway, it's something you gotta keep working on. One of the things, Rob, that I know you want to talk about today is sales, how sales have changed, right?
Absolutely.
And I've been talking about this with my audience for a while. I don't know if you and I have talked about what my idea of what I'm calling the age of the customer, but I've been saying that the age of the seller is a 10,000-year-old age that is on its last days, and the age of the customer is what's we're in the advent of the age of the customer. And it's we're in parallel universes right now, and that's what's confusing people a little bit. But here's the bottom line, Rob. In the age of the customer has control. Get over it. And that's changing the way we go to market, isn't it?
Absolutely. Interesting. I think that the customer is always in control, much more so now. And I think it's really because people still need products and services, but because of the abundance of choices out there, and the overwhelming ways that people are bombarded with all these choices, especially now with the internet and mobile and everything, that selling has become a lot harder, and it also leads to commoditization of products and services, mm-hmm. and prices go down. So, you know, you said something about the buyer being in control, but I think more than ever, the seller has to be in control of the process.
Right,
which is something that the seller can still do most of the time,
but not with the 20th century process.
Well, I think correct. I think
there's a new process you got to focus on, right?
That's right. I mean, I don't know how much. To be honest with you, I wasn't selling much in the 20th century. I was bean counter and a CFO.
Uh-huh.
So. Although I look back to, you know, my CFO days and when I was, you know, dealing with the sales teams, I do think things have changed a little bit in terms of controlling the process. But at the end of the day, I still find that most salespeople and definitely most business owners haven't understood that there is a science to sales as well as an art. And that science, in my opinion, is largely about the process.
Talk to us about the process, because this is something you've learned a lot about in the last few years, isn't it?
Yeah, I did, and I had to, because when I started the magazine, I was doing the sales myself, and I didn't know how to sell, and I realized pretty quickly I was pretty terrible. So I took sales training for about 3 years,
yeah,
while I was starting the magazine, and it helped a lot. The process is having a way about going about speaking with to the buyer, approaching the buyer. And at the simplest terms, certainly anybody in the B2B world out there has been in this position. You speak with somebody, you have a good conversation, you feel good about it, and then you say, okay, well, we're going to follow up, and you know, you try to get that person, you call once, twice, pretty soon you're in double digits, you email, you may even send a letter with a stamp on it, remember those?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they're not getting back to you. And, you know, that happens a lot. And it happens even, like I said, with experienced salespeople, more than it has happened in the past.
Right.
Why? People are busy. People have a lot more choices. And, as I've said to my salespeople, if somebody's selling to me and they're not controlling the process, I'm probably not going to buy because I need them to steer me in the right direction. I have too much going on. So, in that example I was giving where you spoke with somebody and you tried multiple times to get back in touch with them, there are ways where you can mitigate the risk of that happening. So for example, again, at the simplest level, it's at the meeting, while you have the meeting, while the emotion level is running high, because of course people buy emotionally, they'll rationalize it intellectually, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So while that's happening, you have to ask for the follow-up meeting right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you may say, okay, we'll speak at 8:30 on Tuesday. I'll send you an Outlook invite. You may do all of that. And one of the things I do now is I say, hey, you know, I don't know about you, but my schedule gets really busy. Is this going to be in pen or pencil, and how do we make sure that it's in pen? And, you know, by the way, if for some reason at any time, I always give the buyer a way out. If at any time you don't think that this is right for you, it's okay to tell me. I actually prefer you tell me rather than me chasing you. And I think if you put some of these things out there, whether it's, you know, the scheduling or always giving the buyer, letting them know, like, hey, it's okay to tell me no, you end up saving a lot of time. And you also, it ends up, I think, resulting in a lot more deals getting done.
The other thing that you got to do also, and this is part of the 21st century process, I think, Rob, and that is when you say, okay, let's pencil this in, let's pin this in, whatever, for our next meeting, you have to make sure that you say what's going to be in it for them when you have that meeting. Otherwise, that meeting will never happen, because that's what's missing. That's the difference between the 20th century process and the 21st century process.
That's right. You have to, first of all, it always has to be about them.
Hey, Rob, hold on. That's what I want to talk about in the next segment. But before we go to the break, I want you to tell us how we can find you online. Give us your website.
Oh, sorry, nyreport.com.
And that's where they can find you online. Folks, it's also available in the tri-state area, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, and it's a great magazine. I encourage you to check it out, nyreport.com. Quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.